If we have some elementary students, and if you're 4 or 5 and you want to come forward, we're going to do a quick little children's thing, and then we're going to go back to junior church. If you guys want to come forward, if not, you can stay in your seats and then hightail it when I get done. I'll give you a chance to come forward while I grab what I brought. It's nothing special. It's something that was already here at the church. I brought some chairs from the fellowship hall. They wouldn't fit in my bag, so I tucked them back there in that thing. All right. Here, Sammy, can you stand up for a second? You want to help me? Can you pick up a chair? Can you pick that up? All right, good job. Thank you. Here, you think you can do 2 chairs? No. You can't do 2 chairs? No, two chairs is a lot, isn't it? You can go ahead and have a seat. When I was your age, you can pick up 6 chairs? I doubt that. Oh, you're 6. You're 6, so you can't pick up 2 chairs, right? When I was your age, growing up in the church, picking up and putting away folding chairs was the thing you did all the time, it seemed like. A lot of church was made up of all the different events that we did at church. I was always helping put away chairs and picking up chairs. And I remember being your age, and I could pick up 1 chair. But I saw all these guys and these men, and they would take the chairs, and they would stack them together, and they would pick up 2 at a time. And I thought, man, these guys are strong. They're able to pick up 2 chairs. And look at me now. Oh, yeah. I got there. I have reached the pinnacle of church manhood. I can pick up 2 chairs at a time, right? And that's pretty strong. When we think of strength, that's what we think of, right? We think of being able to pick things up, to be able to do stuff, move stuff around. And that's true. That's physical strength. But there's another kind of strength that we can all participate in. And that's the spiritual strength. But the spiritual strength for us as Christians, it doesn't come from us working out. It doesn't come from us, really, us. It doesn't come from us, right? Spiritual strength comes from somewhere else. Where does our spiritual strength come from? God? Yeah. In fact, in our verse today that Fred's going to be talking about, it says be strong. Does it say be strong in picking up chairs? You think it would say that, even though we do a lot of that at church? No, it says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty strength. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty strength. And it doesn't matter where you start in your Christian life. It doesn't matter if you start at your age. It doesn't matter if you start at 90 years old. And anywhere in between, we can all be strong in the Lord because that's where our strength comes from. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from in us. And God gives us some specific things that we can do to tap into that. And Fred's going to be talking about some of that this morning as I turn over him. And we're going to head to junior church, which we're going to head through these doors if you want to join us. And if parents want to pick them up afterwards, you just go through these doors, turn left, and it's a classroom directly there. And we'll keep them safe till you pick them up. So, and I'll return these chairs, I promise, elders.
Everybody here this morning. We do have some visitors with us today, so we're glad that you're able to be with us this morning. I encourage you to stick around just a little bit after church. Let us get to know you, to meet you, to know you a little bit better. I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 14. We do have our sister Marilyn Bridges back with us today. She's outside there, but need to sit outside there. But we're certainly thankful that she is back with us. Continue to lift her to prayer. What's she do? Oh, she just wait. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. We're talking about a series of lessons that we're doing now is prepare for war. It's from Ephesians chapter 6. 10 and following there is our lesson. And today we're going to be talking about the soldier, okay? We're going to be talking about the soldier today. And so as we read this passage here, I want you to think about this from the perspective of the soldier. And by the way, that's you and me. So listen to what Paul writes to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not a physical battle, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm. Last Monday marked the 78th anniversary since Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy in Nazi-occupied France. More than 156,000 troops, notably from the United States, Britain, and Canada, confronted Nazi forces on D-Day, codenamed Operation Overlord, forever reshaping World War II. Over 4,000 Allied soldiers lost their lives on June 6, 1944, in a valiant effort to finally get a foothold into France and free the nation from German occupation. Over 50,000 Allied soldiers gave their lives during the entire Normandy invasion that lasted just over 2 months. Dwight D. Eisenhower, then the commanding general of the European front, later became our president, said of the D-Day invasion, and I want you to listen to his words. He says, "War is a terrible thing, but if you are going to get into it, you've got to get into it all the way." Now, I sense that many Christians are defeated in their Christian lives because they are not seriously engaged in the warfare in which we have been called. I believe that's why Paul went into such great detail in describing the spiritual warfare that is waging in the heavenly realms. Because the apostle wants Christians to understand that we are at war. Say that with me. We are at war. Whether we believe it or not, we are at war, and we will be ultimately defeated and lost eternally in hell if we are unprepared to fight against our enemy, the devil. Now, last Sunday, we went into great detail about the battle. The battle that Satan, with his evil forces, is waging against God, his forces, in the heavenly realms, and also waging against every believer that is living for Christ. And again, although it's not a physical battle that we can see, again, Paul said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We have all personally been impacted by it, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We bear those wounds and scars that Satan has inflicted in this spiritual warfare. Throughout the New Testament, followers of Christ are referred to by many names: disciples, servants, believers, Christians, children of God. But we are also referred to as soldiers. Paul viewed himself as a soldier of Christ. He often referred to his companions as fellow soldiers. Paul told Timothy, the young preacher, that while he was ministering in Ephesus, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, to endure hardship like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. I mean, the Apostle Paul had an admiration for soldiers, for their discipline, their commitment, their sacrifice, their honor. His readers were very well acquainted with the concept of military army. I mean, the presence of the soldiers the Imperial Roman army could be found virtually every place where the gospel was spread. And the New Testament uses many military metaphors to describe the Christian experience. So, church, we are soldiers of Christ. Say that with me. We are soldiers of Christ. One more time. We are soldiers of Christ. I mean, the very day that you and I gave our lives to Jesus Christ in baptism, we were enlisted into God's army. And our objective as soldiers of Christ is to serve the King of Kings and to protect the church of Jesus Christ. God, our sovereign King, through the Apostle Paul, gave three battle orders. Three battle orders that we are to obey in order to prepare us for Satan, against Satan and his forces. And the first one is this: be strong. Say this with me: be strong. Okay? Now, the phrase that Paul uses here, when he says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, that is not a battle cry, to get you all pumped up and excited to go onto the battlefield to face Satan. It is a command. It is an order from God. A better translation would be, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Okay? This is what Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus. He is saying, strengthen yourself in the Lord. I mean, it requires action, something that we have to do in order to be strong enough to face our enemy in battle. How many of you served in the military? Can you raise your hand if you ever served in the military? Okay? I know we got more than, two, three, others, okay? So we have people here who have served in the military. I used to preach in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Was just a few miles outside of Fort Knox. And so we had a lot of Army personnel within the church there where I was preaching. From anywhere from private to full-blown colonel that was in our church. And so when we talk about people serving the military, you understand that the U.S. Army does not send soldiers out onto the battlefield until they are strong enough to endure the rigors of war. Am I right about that? They don't send them out. And I'm sure that anyone who has ever served in the military will never forget their time in boot camp or in basic training. For several weeks, 7 to 8 weeks in the Navy, Air Force, 10 weeks in the Army, and 13 weeks in the Marines, the participants go through rigorous physical training to help strengthen their bodies in preparation for whatever challenge will ever be put before them. Now, I shared with you before about my younger brother, John. John was a TI, a training instructor at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. How many of you ever served in the Air Force? Okay. So we got that hand went up, and I said, Lackland Air Force Base. You're probably, I've been there. John was a TI, a training instructor at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas, for 7 years before being transferred to Naples, Italy. He served in the Air Force over 20 years and retired from the Air Force. But one day while visiting with my brother, I was preaching actually just south of San Antonio, 50 miles south of San Antonio in Pearsall, Texas. And we went to visit John and the family. And so we took a boat ride on the River Walk, if you've ever been to San Antonio, the River Walk through downtown San Antonio. And a young man and his family was walking. They were walking on the sidewalk that followed the river when he recognized my brother John. "Hey, Sarge," he yelled. You were my TI a few years back." And John just kind of smiled and waved. And then he said, "I hated you back then." And then he added, "But you sure taught me a lot, I mean, strengthening training is never easy, but undoubtedly what was learned in boot camp and basic training bad at fear. Of course, as Ben just taught us, Paul is not talking about physical strength. But he's talking about being strong spiritually and mentally in the Lord. And the Greek word for strong means empowered or enabled. Paul is reminding Christians of the need to be empowered by God's mighty strength. And as I pointed out last week, if we face Satan with our feeble strength and willpower, we will be crushed. We will be crushed. Have you ever noticed how the devil starts putting all the pressure in your life where you are, when you are the weakest? Have you noticed how he works like that? I mean, he knows our vulnerabilities, and that's where he likes to attack. I mean, when things aren't going well at work, your boss has been on your case, your co-workers aren't pulling their weight, your hours have been cut. I mean, that's when Satan starts putting thoughts of revenge and sabotage, you know, to your mind. You know, and all you can think about is getting even, you know, putting everyone in their place. You know, you'll show him. Or if you're having marital problems, do you think it's a coincidence that the new guy at work is starting to flirt with you when you're having marital problems? Or all of a sudden, the girl that you had a crush on back in high school sent you a friend request on Facebook? I mean, Satan is at work to destroy not only your marriage, but your relationship with God. And throughout every battle that we face, every trial that comes our way, every temptation that crosses our path, God will provide what we need to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And that brings me to the second battle command, the battle order. And that is put on. Say that with me. Put on, okay? Now, Paul points out that the way to be strong in the Lord is to put on the full armor of God. And God, again, provides everything that we need to fend off Satan's attacks, so we don't come out of that baptistry automatically equipped. I mean, the phrase, you know, put on in verses 11 and 13 speaks of an action that we must, just bring back that slide, if you will, please. But it speaks of an action that we must put on. God supplies the armor, but it's up to us to put it to use. Undoubtedly, in the first century, every Roman soldier was issued full armor. And when they went out to battle, it was up to them to put on the armor so that they would be prepared to stand in defense against their enemy. And I dare say that not a single Roman soldier went onto the battlefield without first putting on their complete armor to protect them from whatever weaponry was going to be used against them from their enemy. I just can't imagine a soldier, you know, being out there in the heat of battle trying to dodge flaming arrows wearing nothing but a toga. You know, I just can't picture that. And if he did, I'm pretty sure he didn't make it off the battleground. So, without the armor of God, we will not survive this war, brother and sister. We will not survive this war. Now, I'm going to give you a little Greek lesson here. In the Greek, in the original language, the phrase put on is in the present aorist imperative mood. Okay, are you writing this down? There will be a test later. Present aorist imperative. I always say decisive in my mind. A present aorist imperative that conveys a sense of urgency that calls for decisive action. Paul is warning the Christians at Ephesus to urgently understand that we are at war, so they need to be fully prepared, fully ready to defend themselves in battle by putting on the armor of God that God has already provided for them. Now, the present aorist means putting on the armor of God and basically never taking it off. Because it's in present mood. It's something that we do continually. The devil is always on the offensive, plotting and scheming and attacking us on every front. And that's why, you know, it is imperative that we be alert and be on guard. So again, Paul said that we are to put on the full armor of God. Now, again, we talked about this last week. We cannot face our enemy with partial armor, with being half protected. The armor that God provides gives us everything that we need to fend off Satan's attacks. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the footwear of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the full armor of God provides for us both defensive and offensive weaponry for this warfare that we're in. Satan does not always attack us head on. He doesn't always attack us head on. Other times he will try to attack us from all sides. We don't always see him coming. We don't always see him coming. He fights dirty. Sometimes he attacks us from behind when we least expect it. Other times he will try to get us off balance by attacking us from the sides. He didn't go into battle. We've got to understand here that when he says here that we are to be protected, we got to make sure that we are protected at all times from wherever Satan will attack us from. A soldier knew that every piece of the armor was necessary to give him adequate defense against his enemy. He did not go into the battle with just, a piece or two of the armor, because he would just leave himself vulnerable. He didn't go into battle with just wearing a helmet. He didn't go into battle with just carrying a shield. He didn't walk out into the battlefield with just a sword in his hand. He made sure that he was fully equipped to face his enemy. And brothers and sisters, we too, as soldiers of Christ, must make sure that we are fully equipped with God's armor as we face our enemy. Whether Satan attacks our faith, or tries to make us doubt our salvation, or attempts to confuse us as to what is true, or bombards us with temptation that calls us to sin, we will be ready. Which brings us to the third battle cry. And that is, stand firm. Say that with me. Stand firm. If there is one command that the 21st century church needs to be constantly reminded of, it is to stand firm. Paul said the reason that we are to, in verse 11, put on the full armor of God is so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. In verse 13, he said, when the day of the evil comes, stand your ground. And then in verse 14, during the heat of the battle, Paul said, stand firm. And when soldiers were given orders to stand your ground or to stand firm, that means that they were not to give any ground to their enemy. They were not to flee, nor were they to yield. I mean, the ground they were defending was far too valuable to hand over to the enemy. And friends, the ground that you and I are defending is our heart, mind, and soul. What is our ground? Heart, mind, and soul. I mean, we have seen too many Christians who have given up that holy ground much too easily. Satan would dangle the temptation of pleasure in front of me, and I would discard my armor and follow him. I mean, the devil would place difficulties and hardships in my life, and I would quickly buckle under the pressure and blame God. The great deceiver would challenge my faith with peer pressure and wanting to be liked. And when around my friends, I would hide my Christian life and just kind of pretended that I didn't even know Jesus at all. So brothers and sisters, if we do not stand firm against Satan's schemes and attacks, Satan will turn our battleground into his playground. And we will be defeated. Now the Apostle Paul is a good soldier of Christ, not only handed down God's orders to stand firm, but he followed those orders until the very day that he died. The very last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote was to Timothy, his son of the faith, who was ministering to the church at Ephesus. And as Paul writes this second letter to Timothy, he is in a Roman dungeon as a prisoner of Nero, and knows that soon he is going to be executed for preaching Jesus. And in his final letter, Paul urges Timothy to remain strong in the faith and to preach God's word patiently, but without compromise. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4. The reason Paul spoke of this, because he tells us in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, that there's going to be godlessness that will become rampant in the church of the last days, leading many Christians only to hold a form of godliness but deny its power. Well, this is happening in the church right now. Paul's deep concern for the spirituality of the church is quite evident throughout this entire letter. And Paul then writes about his own spiritual journey as he prepares to die for his faith. So I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn over to 2 Timothy, if you will, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. Again, this is Paul's final letter. His final words before he died. And he writes to Timothy, and he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, he says this. He says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." What that means is, Paul says, I am being sacrificed. I'm being sacrificed for Christ. But notice verse 7. Now, I want to kind of just hold on to this verse just a second here. Verse 7 says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Now, I want you to recite this with me together. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I mean, this is how Paul said that this is coming to the end of my life. As I look back on my life, I realize that this is what I've done. I have stood firm through it all. And then he goes on, verse 8, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." And that's you and me. Why was he so confident that he was going to heaven? Because he did exactly what he told the Christians at Ephesus to do. To be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God and stand firm against the devil's schemes. So here's my question for you today. Are you prepared for battle? This letter. ready. Amen? We need to get ready. Because the battle is going. You know, seeing the effects of it. We talked about the effects of the battle just last week. That we can see all around us. And it's all because Satan is trying to destroy us. And so the battle is waging on, and we are to be soldiers of Christ. And as soldiers of Christ, we need to be strong. We need to put on that armor, and we need to stand firm. Or else we will not survive. So I want you to be thinking about that today. We're going to be singing this invitation song. And during this invitation song, there's an opportunity for us just to look deep within ourselves. Again, the battleground is our heart, mind, and soul. That's our battleground. That's where Satan is trying to destroy us. And so we need to take a deep look within our heart, our mind, and our soul, and ask the question, am I prepared for this battle? If you're not prepared for this battle, please don't leave today without being prepared. Maybe there's some things in your life that maybe that you're struggling with. But by the way, we all struggle. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of us. I mean, I think sometimes we think, well, I'm the only one that faces this temptation. I'm the only one.
Guarantee you, you are not. You are not. We all struggle. But yet there are some who just give in to the struggle and just give up. And then there are those who say, I am going to take action. I am going to take action. I'm going to let God work in my life in a mighty way so that I be prepared to fight that battle. So as we sing this invitation song, as you look into your life, if we can help you this morning, if we can pray for you, if we can help you, maybe you haven't yet given your life, you want to know more about that, we want to talk to you about that. If we can just be here for you, we want to be here for you. So whatever that need might be, we ask you to please come as to get and we sing.